So you know we're using a set of materials provided by Kate Bowler out of Duke University, and she writes this week, "I'd like to make a strong case for complaint as a spiritual virtue. There is something cathartic when you don't have to eat it. When instead you can say, this did not go well, I am not pleased, everyone needs to do better. Complaining allows us to see that the world is not as it should be. Complaining to God allows us to see, to locate ourselves in a situation and figure out where God should be. When we say to God, I am tired of being sick. I am tired of people not listening to me. I am angry that this is happening. Where are you? Then we just might find that God shows up in surprising ways. When a friend knows a friend, when someone brings you dinner, when the doctor finally listens. Your complaints might even help you find out the next right step, or just help you to get it all out there. Either way, God can handle your complaints. God will listen." So this week, when I first read today's gospel, it felt hard to get a handle on. It is marked as the lament over Jerusalem in my study Bible, and it does feel like Jesus lamenting over Jerusalem is the core of the reading. But there are a number of things going on here. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He knows that he needs to go there, and he knows what will happen when he gets there. He has set his face to Jerusalem, Luke says, determined to fulfill the purpose God has set for him. Some Pharisees show up, and they warn Jesus that Herod wants to kill him. Now, this is the same Herod who recently had John the Baptist beheaded because John made some comments about he and his wife and made him mad. Also, Jesus has just talked to his followers about another incident in which a number of Jewish men were killed by Pilate, governor of Judea, while they were carrying out their religious sacrifices. So the threat of violence to Jesus is a credible threat. We know that. If we read the whole story, Jesus' predictions of his death and the violence that has already happened up till now, there is this sense of foreboding building in this scene. At first, Jesus seems unfazed. He dismisses the disciples. "Go tell that fox," he says, insisting that he must continue healing and freeing people from evil, doing the work of God for which he has come. No threat of Herod or anyone else can derail him from this mission. But then he seems to pause. In a moment, it all catches up with him, not the threat to himself, but his sorrow about it all. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I longed to gather you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing." This is God's lament over God's people, heard throughout the Old Testament prophets. God's love and longing for a people who so often turn their back on God, who again and again reject God's way of living in community, of care for all, choosing instead greed and power and violence. On Monday, I joined a group of preachers from around the country who'd get together digitally to pray the gospel text through Lectio Divina. As we prayed and shared our impressions and reactions to the text, digging deeper into the reading, we shared our increasing sense of the threat and foreboding. After all, when a fox and a brooding hen meet, it doesn't go well for the hen or the chicks. And that sense of foreboding of a coming storm is kind of what life feels like for many of us right now. Whatever challenges we are each facing in our own lives, and they are many, We share a sense of uncertainty, anxiety, and threat over what is happening in our country right now. Today, we lift up the needs of people across the country who are at risk of hunger, especially children, because of current government policy changes. We hold in our hearts many who have had careers interrupted, who have lost access to health care. We stand in solidarity with immigrants who are living in fear. We stand in love with members of the LGBTQ community whose very identities are denied. And we lament. We lift our voices in the cry, "This is not okay, God. This is not how things are supposed to be. This is not the community of justice and mercy, of mutual love and care that you have taught your people to embrace." Complaint, lament, voicing our sorrow and longing and fears to God is a part of the biblical tradition. It keeps us in relationship to God in the midst of grief and anxiety. It gives some measure of relief just to voice that sorrow and fear within that relationship. And also, as Bowler suggests, complaints might sometimes help us figure out a next right step. It's not always easy to find that next step, to know what to do with our concern, and especially now, I think a sense of helplessness is so much a part of what many of us feel. But voicing our lament might guide us to find how we are called to respond as people of God. In today's story, Jesus shows us what to do. Faced with a very real threat and a very real sorrow, Jesus goes on to continue the work that God has given him to do, to love the people he meets one by one, seeing them, listening to them, to offer healing and deliverance from suffering, to follow God's way of love and justice, kindness and mercy. And friends, we can do that as well. Not perfectly, not like Jesus, but following Jesus, our teacher, our Savior, we can choose to live in love. As we do today when we write letters to encourage Congress to provide support for people to have enough food and health care. And friends, we can let ourselves be gathered under God's wings. When it's all too much, we can rest and abide there. We can let ourselves be sheltered by the God who loves and holds us, who is our light and our salvation. We can take courage in God under whose wings we are sheltered now and forever. I'm going to end with a blessing by Kate Bowler, a blessing for lament. Teach us how to pray, God, when our faith doesn't feel like comfort, when there are not easy answers or tidy scripts, when there are no other words but lament. Teach us how to pray, God, when we see Christ in Gethsemane at the center of it all. Teach us how to pray, God, when the Spirit groans alongside of us, speechless too at the pain, at the inexplicable, at the unfair, joining the chorus of others in this agonized prayer. Teach us how to pray, God. May our words of lament turn toward acts of love as we remake this beautiful, terrible world together. Amen.